So here's the deal. Do you listen to those words?
Yes.
And are you good with that? Because I am. And I believe that our teaching, our philosophy, supports that vision, indeed requires it. The world is swiftly changing. Not swiftly enough in many ways. It was in 1963. Excuse me, I need to cough. Thank you, it's all better. In 1963, I think Bob Dylan's wrote, "The times they are a changing," and you know the lyric in that is, "You better start swimming, or you will sink like a stone." And most of us haven't been very interested in changing, and yet the change goes on, like it or not, and it goes on in good ways. There is a what they call flattening of the hierarchy. I am astonished always at how important it seems to me that the President of the United States often chooses to be on the front page of the New York Times without a necktie, which would have been unimaginable a couple of years ago, or that someone like George Bush Sr. would shave his head in solidarity to a child who is going through chemotherapy in his neighborhood in Maine. That we're realizing that, you know, we're folks. We're just folks, all of us. And we better get with that program really, really fast. Those that don't, those that are resisting it, are experiencing great problems born of resistance and denial. And that's where a lot of strife comes in. As we move towards this world of this vision of oneness, new alliances and collaborative experiences are taking shape, and some of them are fantastic and interesting, and some of them are beyond even my wildest imagination. I've lived here for 3 years now, and I just realized this week that a commercial I'd been hearing, I really wasn't listening to on the radio for the last 3 years. Yo, 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 this is Snoop Dogg doing a commercial for my boy, Cal Worthington? When did Snoop Dogg and Cal Worthington have anything in common? But I guess in this postmodern world we live in, they do. And they must be using each other to each other's greater advantage, I guess. On the NewsHour on PBS, there's a reporter named Paul Solomon who does stories about economics and finance, and he has been doing one lately about how life has changed for individuals. He did a feature about boys and girls who are students at the Juilliard School, and how even artists of all stripes are realizing that they must be willing to be business people if they are going to have a career at all. That nobody can afford to have the idea that there's a dirty part of a business, of networking or money handling. That we all have to be entrepreneurs, every single one of us. And if we're not willing to do that, frankly, there's no hope for work, for career, for self-expression. Are these efforts difficult? Yes, they might be difficult for some of us. Are they bad? We don't have the luxury of thinking anything is bad anymore. We all have to be on the page of being willing to do what is ours to do and call it good if it serves our aim, if it moves us in the direction of what it is we want to achieve in life. I know. Because of my experience. I know that this philosophy that we talk about and the techniques that we encourage all of us to practice are the single most important thing that you can do in life. This particular book that I'm basing a lot of these talks on, These Three Simple Steps, is a wonderful opportunity to practice, because I will say every week there is no new information. In our class in Bible, we just went through 4 weeks of really interesting, fascinating stuff. And even though that information is 2,000 years old, there is no new information, and old wisdom, perennial wisdom, is totally applicable to every single situation that's going on in your life right now. The thing that makes the difference for all of us is, are we willing to practice what we know? And are we willing to close the gap between what we know and how we live? Or what we want and how we live. It's nice to sing a song where we say, imagine that there are no countries. Are you willing to assume the responsibility for that? Are you willing to assume a responsibility for the really being a brotherhood of man? We have to be, whether you want to or not. We have to be, because that reality is already in our mind and in our heart, and that reality is operative on the planet. That is the path to go with. And that is the path that will support all of us towards our own individuation and our satisfaction. This book, Three Simple Steps, the subtitle is A Map to Success in Business and Life. These steps are simple, but they are not easy. The first step that we spoke about for a couple of weeks is about controlling your mental environment. I noticed that Reverend Tricia framed her treatment around that. I am not hurrying through this book. I am going slowly, and I am practicing every day controlling my mental environment. Catching myself when I can. Redirecting my own thought patterns when I can. Staying away from ideas that do not serve me or bring me down, and getting back to ideas that are life-enhancing for me and for all people everywhere. Step two, which we'll start to talk about today, and it's a tiny idea to share about that, is positioning yourself to create and respond to good ideas. Once we have learned that, A, we are responsible for our own mental environment, then B, we have the responsibility to do something with it, to begin the creation, to set ourselves at the threshold. There was a marvelous photographer named Edward Weston who at one point in his career said, I take every picture in anticipation of that one picture that I will take in the future. Every moment of our lives is an opportunity to practice the art and craft of living, of being ourselves. And so when we are able to not screen out, because that's never going to happen, but when we are able to really be the benevolent steward of our own mind and know this idea doesn't serve me and this is what I choose to focus on, it's then my responsibility to begin to focus, to really put some energy together about what is it that I want to heal, create, move towards in my life, and to be willing to stay with it. Again, forsaking all others. Because equivocation gets us nowhere. It's dedication that gets us where we want to go. We need to practice our craft, our mental state, and the thing that is of interest to us. If it's an online retail business that we're doing, a design firm, an acting career, a medical practice, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is that we are seeking to create in our lives, it has got to be our prime interest. And we cannot afford. I know I can't. That is one of the things that I continue to remind myself about over and over. I do not have the time to be taking anybody else's inventory, as we say in another tradition. I don't have the time to do that. I'm not a paid psychotherapist. It's not my job to tell everybody what's wrong with them, even though it's my pleasure. I have to keep that genie in the bottle. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Can I get an amen on that one there? Yeah. But what in God's name does that have to do with you in your life? Nothing. I happen to be listening to Science Friday on NPR the other night, and they were interviewing Phil Mickelson, who I guess just won the British Open. And they were asking him, because it had something to do with the topic, I don't know what, but he was talking about focus and what it really means to focus on what you want and what you're doing. Now, this man is a professional golfer, and he mentioned that he just built a putting green at his house where he lives because he was feeling that was the weak part of his game. And he said, you know, some people think that they're practicing, and they're not. And this applies to all of us and all of our businesses. Some people think that they really are about the business of building their business or studying or doing something, but what they're really doing is fooling around. He said, I have learned, and this man has been playing golf since he was 4, is that I can't really pay attention for more than about 40, 45 minutes. And I said, now most people kind of go out and they hit a bucket of balls and they have a couple of drinks and they chit-chat with this person and they think they're practicing for 3 or 4 hours, but they're not practicing for a second because they're not giving their full attention to anything. And that's where this is a very adult and self-monitoring kind of work that we do in shaping our own lives. You got to know when you mean business or when you're kidding yourself. To focus on what you want. Now, next week we'll talk a little bit more about that, of course. But this really is the key point. In the particular section that I read in this book this week, the author talks about Albert Einstein, who thought about a particular idea for 10 years, who really gave his attention to one idea for 10 years until he had a breakthrough, and it was all there, and he was able to write a paper which was only 3 pages long with no footnotes about the general theory of relativity. He thought about it for 10 years. That's dedication. That's what we mean when we say focus.
When I was in the television business, the one thing that would kind of make me crazy is when New York actors would come to town and they would feel really, really special because I'm a real actor. You know, and everybody out here is a loser. And I thought I'd come out for pilot season, see what you have for me. I'll give it about 90 days.
Yeah.
You know, when you arrive with that attitude, what dynamic are you setting up? Who asked you to come here? Go back to New York. Who do you think you are? There's a lot of it that goes on. In all of our businesses, no matter what it is, no matter what the discipline is, there's a lot of that goes on. That's not about focus. That's about ego and silliness and fantasy about how easy life is going to be for me because I'm so special. It ain't easy for anybody. But again, the one thing that I love to continue to talk about is that you will know that you are growing in real spiritual maturity when you know with every fiber of your being that if something is hard, does not mean it's bad. And if something is easy, it does not mean it's good. But that effort is required.
And if you are about the business of being in your joy, in your pleasure, doing work that makes you want to get up and get out of bed in the morning, which we have to be doing that, everybody has to be doing that, then it will always be a pleasure, and every minute we spend cultivating ourselves is worth it. And since we have coined worth, of course, living in a world of cause and effect, we will experience some kind of exchange monetarily. That's simply the way it is. It has got to be that way. Now, when we talk about ideas like this and we use the book Three Simple Steps for Success in Business and in Life, I always want to make sure that I know and transmit to you as well that there's a spiritual underpinning to this. Because, you know, if you go to a Tony Robbins training session, it's fun, but it's $10,000. And I think what we're doing here is worth that much. But here's the deal. This is why it's spiritual as well. Because once you know this, once you really understand who you are, which is a perfect expression of life, and that as such, like any living thing, you have a right, you are entitled to a life of health and fulfillment. You are entitled to feel that, yes, your life can bear fruit, and that there is no one and no thing against you. Once you know that, and you know that we live in a world of cause and effect, you then take on the responsibility of being successful. We have to be willing to cross that threshold. Why is that? Because if we don't, we will only lose ground. We cannot continue to go forward unless we embrace that additional aspect of ourselves, which is the truth. And the truth of you is life in expression. And we have to keep going forward. You cannot not do that. There's a wonderful Jungian analyst, Marion Woodman, and lives in Toronto. And she says that our destiny, which could be our success, our fulfillment, our destiny is the life we owe to nature. And that is an idea that I can work with. Do you get to be here for free? I guess. I mean, I guess. But what kind of a life is that? You know, I'm not here for maintenance. That's too boring. I'm here for fulfillment. I'm here for expression. I'm here for joy. I'm here for creativity. And I'm here for community. Because that's the other piece. Again, going back to imagine that there is a brotherhood of man. Here's the deal, and here's the world that we live in now, which has been coming slowly, but it's been coming for the last 60 years or so. Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda, the Self-Realization Fellowship, we know and love the Yogananda, right? Was a remarkable human being, and he moved to the States in 1920, and he died in 1952. And he created the Self-Realization Fellowship over by the Sunset Boulevard by the Pacific Ocean. He called it fellowship for a very particular reason. He came from a lineage 4,000 or 5,000 years old from India, where guru to guru, there's a transmission of wisdom between guru and devotee. And it was his opinion that that age now was complete. It was over. And much to the chagrin
of three principal devotees of his who wanted to be the boss of the Self-Realization Fellowship when he died. He would not choose anybody and said that there can't be a leader anymore because this is a fellowship. This is the next incarnation of how we need to be in practice as spiritual beings in spiritual community. The age of the lawgiver is over. Those that are fighting that reality are fighting a losing battle and are very unattractive. This is a time of fellowship. And as I say, fellowship happens when we encourage each other on our journey. It is as simple as that. But also because of that, that's another reason why we have, it's imperative that all of us really know that our success, our fulfillment in this world, however you define that, however you define your fulfillment, it is imperative that you do that and encourage all others to do the same. That is the only way that we can possibly be on this planet from now on. And if you are willing to do that consciously, it will bear great fruit and life will be really sweet. This is a complex, amazing, bizarre, weird, and enriching time that all of us are getting to live in. And because of all those things, it's scary and unsettling if you don't know what the rules are. But you know who you are and you know what the rule is. Don't hurt nobody and don't eat no dirt. I can't say it any simpler than that. That still leaves you a lot of opportunity in this world to be busy. And I am here to support you in that. I know that our staff ministers and our practitioners and our board members are all here, and everybody that comes to class are all here to encourage each other. Not necessarily to come to higher ground, but to experience the fullness of life as it could be for you. Please do it, and God bless you.